بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا وحبيبنا وقدوتنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه، وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه، علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما، أخرجنا من ظلمات الوهم وأكرمنا بنور الفهم، وأنعم علينا عظيم. ربي اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. أما بعد، after the praise to Allah Almighty and peace be upon his beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I testify that there is no God except Allah, and I testify that Muhammad is the Prophet and the Messenger of Allah. And my brothers and sisters in Islam, I thank Allah Azza wa Jal for a beautiful gathering of this gathering of the angels, a gathering full of mercy and tranquility from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We continue with what we've been trying to focus on the last few Thursdays, to get our mind and heart, bi'idhnillahi azza wa jal, on the right way of thinking and the right way of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not to fall into holes that shaitan digs up for us to make us fall into under the name of deen. And one of the things I've been speaking about, that unfortunately it is a disease that will stay to the day of judgment, and it will not probably take place one day that will demolish that disease fully, because if there was someone that could have demolished that disease fully, it would have been Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But my advice, inshaAllah, is how could we keep away from that disease? How could we keep away from that disease, which is the disease of ghulu, the disease of ghulu that we spoke about, which is the extremism in deen? And once again, I would like to clear something. When I say extremism, I am not referring to the extremism word that we hear in the media, or we hear in the newspaper, or read in the newspaper. Because these days, anyone that wears the sunnah has got to be that attends the mosque is extreme. That's not my definition. But I'm here talking about the extremism that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke about, and Allah Azza wa Jal spoke about. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, يا أهل الكتاب لا تغلوا في دينكم. Allah had spoken to the people of the book, the Christians and the Jews. And this addressing is also to the nation of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Do not go extreme in your religion. Okay, what's the extremism here? The scholars divide extremism, the ghulu, into four different categories. There's extremism in the creed. There's extremism in the creed. There's also extremism in the worship. There's extremism in customs. And there's extremism in transaction and dealing with people. And inshallah, we'll try and cover these. Extremism in creed, in which people go extreme in some of their beliefs. In which people go extreme in some of their belief. Go extreme in the belief of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that they start resembling Allah azza wa jal with things that they're not allowed to. Go extreme in the belief of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that what the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself had warned about, do not ever exaggerate in me the way the Christians had ever exaggerated in Isa ibn Maryam, but say, I am the servant of Allah and his messenger. There's extremism in our creed, and there's extremism in some people when they have, you know, when they start worshipping, for example, graves, or start worshipping people. This is extremism within the belief, within the creed. This is extremism in the ibadah, when people go overboard. And ikhwani, when I talk about extremism, some people think the term extremism is going beyond. Sometimes extremism goes beyond one way, and sometimes extremism going beyond the other way. And some people take the deen too hard, some people take it too easy. Taking it too hard is extreme, taking it too easy is extreme. And Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا. Allah Azza wa Jal had made this nation a great nation because this nation is an average nation. And when you talk about average nation, a wasat, this nation is an average nation in all its aspects and its belief. And that's why the scholars say the strongest part of the stick is where you grab it in the middle. The strongest part of the stick is where you grab it in the middle. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made this nation to be like that. Allah azza wa jal had made this nation to be like that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had warned from that. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in many, many hadith in which he says, La taghlu fi dinakum, do not go extreme in your religion. And that's why we want to define the word extreme. Once again, don't look at what the non-believers or the enemies of Islam define extreme. We want to look at what the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his Prophet define extreme is. So there's extremism in our creed, in the creed. There's people that go extreme in their creed. There's people that go extreme in their worship. People who over worship in areas that they should not over worship. People who make up worship that they're not, which becomes innovation. There's extremism in habits and the customs, where people become so extreme over their customs and they don't want to let go of those customs. They make those customs as part of the deen. They make those customs as part of the deen, and we see a lot of that. We see a lot of that, that people do make customs as part of the deen, and they make it as part of the religion, and the like, you know, the slok, they make it a verse that was revealed. And there's extreme in that dealing with people. And that's where the manners comes in. That's where the manners come in. Some people don't have manners, where they have the picture and the figure of religious people, but no manners. There's extreme. And some people get overboard with their manners. They get overboard with shyness and so on. That's also extreme. And inshallah, we'll try and cover these ones in the best appropriate way. Last week we spoke about, of course, the extremism of takfir. And that's a major disease that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had warned about. Takfir, taking people outside Islam. And that's, yani, some scholars categorize it as part of the extremism in creed. And that's a quality that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had warned about from his time. Had warned about from his time, and he mentioned about the Khawarij having that quality, although that the Prophet alaihi wasallam described them with a law of worship, although sallallahu alaihi wasallam described them with a law of prayer, that one of you will look at their prayer, will disgrace your prayer in front of their prayer. And you look at them, mashallah, these people, very religious, very strong, they're on the haq, they're on the truth, and so on. Alayhi salatu wasalam says, يَخْرُجُونَ مِنَ الدِّينِ كَمَا يَخْرُجُ كَمَا تَخْرُجُ السَّهْمُ مِنَ الرَّمِيَّةِ. They go out from the religion, the way an arrow goes out of its bow, so quick. And you find them in the deen, outside the deen so quickly. And it's also always the case with those who cause fitna, and those who always the case of those who go against the Muslims and the jama'ah of the Muslims. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke about them, and he disgraced their quality of having takfir, taking people out of Islam. And he said that they kill the believers. They kill believers and leave the polytheists by them. They leave the polytheists. Yani, those who worship Allah Azza wa Jal, those who believe in Allah, they'll kill them. And those who worship the elders, they'll leave them. Instead of them focusing on those who disbelieve in Allah, they'll focus on those who believe in Allah, in which they start believing that those are munafiqeen and so on. And with that concept, they killed Uthman. With that concept, they killed Uthman. With that concept, they killed Ali. With that concept, they killed hundreds of the companions. With that concept, they killed Muawiyah. With that concept, they killed great companions and great men and great imams in the Islamic history, where they say, they picture that this is kufr, or this is wrong, and this is batil, and they start attacking and killing Muslims under the name of Allah, wal-iyadu billah, and it all went back to the takfir. Calling people kuffar and taking people out of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wal-iyadu billah. And this goes to ignorance, ya ikhwani, goes to ignorance. And those who follow them are more ignorant. And it's always, yani, it's an amazing thing is, the amazing thing, the Khawarij had a lot of followers. And that was amazing. But subhanallah, you look at it, in these people that followed them should at least stop and think. There was in the thousands of them, we even reached to 50,000. In some narration says there were about 50,000 of them. 50,000 Khawarij. 50,000 Khawarij, and they were very strong together and stuck together. And they used to worship Allah together, read Quran together. Like, they used to have that enthusiasm in the deen, but they were very quick in the deen, very quick out. Very quick in, very quick out. Exactly what the Prophet ﷺ said. The lark, as quick as the arrow. Yani how they put the arrow in the bow. As quick as the arrow goes past the bow, that's how quick these people in the deen, they live in the deen. And it's always based on ignorance. You know, that manhaj of takfir and calling people kuffar, it's always based on ignorance and only ignorant people who call for that and only ignorant people that follow that. It's only ignorant people who call for that. It's only ignorant people that follow that. And that's one of the extremism of i'tiqad, one of the extremism in creed. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he warned and warned and warned. And we mentioned the story last week, how alayhi salatu wasalam, he was given out the booty in after the opening of Mecca, and that was a great amount of booty. There was a lot of booty, and sallallahu alayhi wasallam was given out. That one of them comes and tells Muhammad, هذه قسمة لا يبتغى بها وجه الله. This is a division of this booty that does not please Allah Azza wa Jal. You are not just. He tells the Prophet ﷺ that he's not just. Yani look at that belief, ikhwani. Even put the Prophet ﷺ in the wrong. These people reach to the extreme in their belief that they made the Prophet ﷺ even he makes mistake. Subhanallah, even the Prophet ﷺ, who Allah Azza wa Jal had protected him from falling into sins and made him sinless, they even put the Prophet ﷺ in a position of being misleader, of being misguider, or being he does not judge, or he's been an oppressor. So he told him, هذه قسمة لا يبتغى بها وجه الله. اعدل يا محمد. Be just, O Muhammad. So sallallahu alayhi wasallam got angry. He said, ومن يعدل إذا لم أعدل أنا ومن يعدل إذا لم يعدل رسول الله. If I'm not gonna be just, then who is going to be just? If I'm the Prophet of Allah, not going to be just, then who will be just? And then the companions got so angry, they wanted to stop this man and his fitna. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, no, يَخْرُجَ مِنْ ضِئْدِيَ هَذَا الرَّجُلِ. People will come out from this man and the following of this man. قَوْم, people, يَخْرُجُونَ مِنَ الدِّينِ كَمَا تَخْرُجُ السَّهْمُ مِنَ الرَّمِيَّ. They walk out of the deen as quick as the arrow, leaving its bow. That's how quick. يَقْرَؤُونَ الْقُرْآنَ لَا يَتَجَاوَزُ حَنَاجِرَهُمْ. They read the Qur'an, it does not go past the throats. And that's an expression of them not understanding the Qur'an. Yani they based on ignorance. Their belief, their understanding, their way, it's all based on ignorance. It's all ignorance and it's all based on ignorance. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, they read the Qur'an, it does not go past the throats. Yani another meaning, that they read the Qur'an, they don't even understand what's in the Qur'an al-Kareem. They don't even know what's in the Qur'an al-Kareem. And then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, by Allah, if I see them, I will fight them and kill them. If I see them, I'll fight them and kill them. They'll kill the Muslims and they'll leave the people who worship the idols. Subhanallah, that's how all this under the name of Islam. All this under the name of Islam. These people had even the An creed and An aqidah. One of the creed, one of their beliefs, that the one that commits a major sin is a kafir. So for example, if a Muslim who probably prays, fasts, even probably attends the mosque every day, but subhanallah, fell in a major sin, fell into drinking wine or stole something, or maybe committed adultery. And people are not, yani, those companions who fell into these major sins, they consider someone who falls into a major sin as a kafir. مرتكب المعصية أو الكبيرة كافر. They say whoever commits a major sin, kafir. And that's extreme in the belief. That's extreme in the belief. And that's something that, of course, it's not acceptable in a way. And then you've got the other group of sects in Islam, like the Mu'tazila, or they came out of Islam. They believe that the one commits a major sin is in a place that's between the paradise and the hellfire. I don't know where they got that from, but that's their belief. So these are the extreme views. And then you've got, yani these extreme views, one is worse than the other. Some is maybe, yani some is probably even less. And yani kaman, yani extreme views of always making judgment over the leaders in Islam, or making judgment over the ulama, or making judgment over the khulafa. And that's always the case, especially with the Arab, they like to make judgment. This khalifa is a kafir, or this leader is out of deen, or this sheikh is a misguira, and so on. That's happened. This is also extreme in belief, you know, extreme in belief. You can't always make judgment over people who are in position of responsibility. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, أَقِيلُ ذَوَ الْهَيْئَاتِ عَثَرَاتِهِمْ, Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam says, cover up on those who are in positions, cover up on those who are in positions. جزاك الله خير. Yani not everything you see from a leader is what you take a judgment. And people in a position of a leadership, people in a position of responsibility, they are in more under more pressure than anyone else. Maybe someone, it's so easy for them to say, yeah, we stop this and we do that. It's easy for someone to give their opinion and do it, but maybe someone in a position of a leader, it's more of a pressure. So that's why Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, out of his hikmah, because he was in that position, he said, don't look at the faults of people in the leadership. Then always cover up. That's what exactly the hadith said. Cover up on the faults of the people in the leadership. You don't know if they make a judgment or make a decision or come up with a judgment. You don't know what's the hikmah from behind it. They are more under pressure. They see more things. They're involved in more things. They are in relate. They relate to more things and they are into more things. So cover up on them. And that's the responsibility of a Muslim. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam done a lot of things. As being a leader, but sometimes you sit back, why did he do that? And maybe people with extreme views, maybe even come and accuse the Prophet ﷺ with bad things. Like this man, Dhul Khuwaisira, how he came to the Prophet ﷺ, said, this is not a judgment that pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is extreme. Another time, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Sulh al-Hudaybiyah, he gave all the advantage to the non-believers. And all the disadvantage was with the believers. And subhanallah, he's in a position of a leadership. Someone from outside will look, Muhammad is fighting against the Muslims, not with the Muslims. That's the interpretation of the shaitan. But you don't know what a leader like Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, especially being a prophet and a messenger, knows and the hikmah from behind it. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave advantage to the non-believers, gave the disadvantage to the believers. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told the companions they're going to perform Umrah. And the companions walked all the way from Medina to Mecca. At the end they were told to go back. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam accepted that. And it's not easy to accept. You come all the way walking for about a month, or about 15 days to 30 days to Mecca, and at the end they tell you go back. And you know, especially being hyped up that you want to perform Umrah, that's not for the advantage of the believers. And then the next year, you come back next year, and you only stay for 3 days and nights. That's not also for the advantage of the believers. And the war between them to be stopped, that was advantage for both. And then, anyone that goes from Mecca to Medina as a Muslim, any Muslim that goes from Mecca to Medina without the approval of his guardian, Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, has no rights to keep him in Medina and has got to reject him and tell him to go back to Mecca. And anyone that goes from Medina to Mecca with or without the approval of his guardian, the people of Mecca have the rights to lock him up. Subhanallah. When Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam accepted. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam accepted. The companion was so upset. Umar al-Khattab was so upset. When Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam accepted such conditions, he was very upset. But see, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam knows what's a hikmah from behind him. And Umar al-Khattab is one of those who went to inspect to the Prophet or Prophet Allah. أتجعل الدنيا تعطات الدنيا للإسلام? You disgrace Islam, in other words? You lower Islam? You give the disgrace to the Muslims? That's what Umar told the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He gave the lower grade to the Muslims? Oh, Prophet Allah, what do you accept such? So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, هذا خير. This is better. So he told them, oh, Prophet Allah, didn't you promise us that we're going to perform Umrah and Hajj? So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, but I didn't tell you this year. I didn't say this year. I said, yes, I saw in the dreams that Allah had promised me that we're going to perform Umrah and Hajj, but I didn't say this year. Okay, I didn't say this year. And he walked off. Then he went to Abu Bakr. And Abu Bakr is one of the strong believers, subhanAllah. And Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, every person I spoke to had a doubt. Every person I spoke to about Islam had a doubt in it except Abu Bakr. Every person, no exception. Every man and every person I spoke to about Islam had a doubt in Islam except Abu Bakr. When he heard about Islam, he said, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. Yeah. And subhanallah, so he went to Abu Bakr Umar and spoke to Abu Bakr and said, Abu Bakr, see what the Prophet did. And he was trying to get Abu Bakr to convince the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So he told them, whatever the Prophet says, I believe, that's it. Umar ibn Khattab later on, he said, by Allah, I regret my action that day. I regret my action that day. After what Allah Azza wa Jal showed him that it was khair and was for the best interest of the believers. Something like that was the opening of Mecca. Something like that was the opening of Mecca. Subhanallah, that's why Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, أَقِيلُ ذَوَ الْهَيْئَاتِ عَثَرَاتٍ, cover up on people in positions and so on. One of the extremes views that some people carry is people in a position of leadership, whether they're in a position of leadership of a country or position of a leadership of a state or even position of leadership of a sheikh, and people accuse always he's this and he's that, he's this and he's that, and he's this and he's that. And sometimes takfir, and sometimes وَمَنْ لَمْ يَحْكُمْ بِمَا أَنْزَلَ اللَّهُ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْكَافِرُونَ, and take some verses out of its contents and apply it and so on. And then the takfir comes and takes place. And this is something very dangerous. And this, yani, when it comes to things like that, it's not an individual opinion. It's not an individual opinion to make, it's not an individual judgment to make a judgment over people whether they're Muslims or not. It must be in a congregation of scholars who have enough knowledge and evidence to say this person is into the deen or not. So this takfir, calling someone kafir, calling someone fasiq, calling someone asi, it's not the word that a Muslim should always use. You should always think about the good. Don't forget, Abu Bakr was a kafir one day too. And Umar was a kafir one day too. And the rest of the companions were kuffar one day too. And Allah Azza wa Jalla made them from the worst of people to the best of people. Allah made them from the worst of people to the best of people. And subhanAllah, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made dua for the worst people on earth at that time. Abu Jahl and Umar ibn al-Khattab. He said, oh Allah, strengthen Islam by one of them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the best one to you, Allah? And Allah Azza wa Jal made Umar al-Khattab become a Muslim. So you as a da'iyah, ask Allah Azza wa Jal to guide people. You ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide people to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A lot of people were misguided and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided them. And at the same time, you hate the action of kufr. You hate the action of ma'asi. You hate the action of fisq. You hate those actions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hates. You dislike those actions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dislikes. You do not negotiate and sympathize to the extent that you start sympathizing with a asi over his ma'asiya. No. You do not sympathize with someone who disobeys Allah with his disobedience. You sympathize with him, but not with his disobedience. You sympathize with someone who is a kafir, but not with his kufr. So we do not lower ourselves to the extent that we start accepting the kufr, or we start accepting the ma'asi, and we start accepting the haram. This is not acceptable in Islam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides whoever he wants, however he wants. Subhanallah, today I was reading on the net, there is one of the top for Arabic websites, one of the five top Arabic websites in music. One of the top Arabic websites in music. They've got 180,000 members. 180,000 members, and they get millions of hits a day. That website is by two Egyptians. Allah alam, the Egyptians, who run that website, and they make good money out of it. They've got it on the website. Subhanallah, an incident that took place, like that cartoon of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that was a just movement for these people to repent. Subhanallah, they saw how the cartoonist, you know, like disrespected the Prophet Alayhi Salatu Wasallam. Just looking at that, their conscience started to move. Who protects the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? And how are we going to protect them when we're committing the haram? So they've changed their website now to an Islamic website. And they've repented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there's good in some people, even if they disobey Allah azza wa jalla. Maybe someone with that extreme view will look at these people. May Allah curse them. May Allah damn them. May Allah destroy them. May Allah this. May Allah that. May Allah azza wa jalla do this to them. Because subhanallah, these people, maybe no one spoke to them. But when they looked how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is getting disgraced, or not disgraced, getting attacked by people, by the worst, or by the enemies of Islam, this made their conscious move. This made their conscious move, and they've changed their website from some name into the Hidayah. They called it to the Hidayah, to the guidance to Islam. Subhanallah. So sometimes, ikhwani, yani, ihna, we look down at the kufr, we look down at the ma'asi, we look down at the haram. We look down at people who does that, but at the same time, we give them the benefit, not the benefit of doubt of them doing that, we give them the hope that Allah Azza wa Jalla will guide them. We ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to guide them. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bring them to the deen. Yani subhanallah, sometimes I'll see people, yani once I saw him, me and another brother on Holden Street driving, you know, a fancy car, and the music is so loud. And subhanallah, we'd stop this brother, and one day over the day, we'd start to speak to this brother to bring him to the deen. Alhamdulillah, Allah guided him. A few years later, once I was standing with this brother, and another Muslim brother going in front of us with a fancy car, and music's loud. So I hear this brother stand next to me saying, "May Allah curse this person." So I said to myself, I told him, "Brother, subhanallah, I remember the same thing a few years ago. You were in that same position, but wallah, we didn't say this about you." And if we did say this about you, you'd probably not be in this position that you're in now. Yani, don't curse people. Yes, we curse this action. We hate this action. And we hate, yani, we hate the brother just because he does the action, but we love him for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal because he's got something, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasul in his heart. And we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to guide him. No, we don't accept his action no matter what circumstance it is, or no matter what the case is. I would never accept the action of kufr or disobedience, but I have that sympathy for this brother to turn to the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal. To turn to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For ikhwani carrying extreme views of hating, disrespecting and takfir and taking people out of the deen of Allah and making judgment over people, this is not the quality of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had a bit of that quality, none of these people would turn to the deen of Islam. But Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Nabi alayhi salatu Allah Azza wa Jal told him, if you make istighfar to the hypocrites 70 times, Allah would not forgive them. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I will make istighfar over 70 times. And that's how much the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to care about how to bring these people to the deen until Allah forbade him. He told them, that's it, no more. He did not ask Allah. Allah does not accept the, your dua or forgiveness or making dua for these people to turn to deen. That's why he Islamically don't make dua for a non-believer for Allah to forgive him or have mercy on him. You make dua for Allah to guide them. That's the minimum. Allah to guide them. May Allah guide them. May Allah bring them to the deen. May Allah show them the truth. This is the dua that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to do. But he don't make a dua to an unbeliever. May Allah forgive him. May Allah have mercy on him because he's not in that state. He's not in that state for the forgiveness and the mercy to come. And if they die, you can't make dua for them. Even Allah Azza wa Jalla forbade Ibrahim to make that dua. But you could, yani, after their death, if they are non-believers, you could ask Allah to lower the hardship of the punishment. Ya Allah, make it easier on them. And you make it easy on them, but you can't make dua, Ya Allah, make him into the paradise because they're not. You can't make dua, Allah, forgive them because he's not. You can't make dua, Allah, have mercy on him because he's not. But you could make dua that Allah to smooth the punishment on them. This is yani, and yani, this is Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said it, and a lot of the companions used to do. So, ikhwan, ihna, yani, we have an open mind, open heart to people. Yani, we don't have always cut and block our minds that khalas, we don't want to associate with anyone else. Yani, we don't look at people. Ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to guide people. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bring them to the deen. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide them to the deen. You have the worst of people in Islam, Lakhad before Islam, Lakhad ibn Walid, who killed a lot of Muslims, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam accepted him and he made him Sayfullah al-Maslul. So Islam is an open religion that does not look, Islam is not looking around who is kafir and who's not. Islam is looking around who could come to the deen of Allah, who could come, how could we stop the kufr, how could we stop the ma'asi. Not Allah just look around to look at down the people, else the da'wah would not be spread. The da'wah would not be spread. And this is one of the extreme views that once it starts in the mind, it just drags. It just drags. And it starts to drag that people start. And I had some people who went to those views start to even call their parents kuffar. My mom and dad are kuffar. This guy is a kafir. I even give salam to my parents. I don't even want to speak to my parents. Subhanallah. And Nabi Allah Azza wa Jalla says, even if they were mushrikeen, you still have to have respect to them. Even if they were mushrikeen, you still have to have respect to them. So this is shaitan plays around with people's mind under the name of the deen. Look, that's how you please Allah. That's how you become strong in the deen. That's how you have a strong belief. That's how you get closer to Allah. Become like that. And deep inside, it's all a hole that takes you to the shaitan. For ikhwani, you should always have the knowledge, seek the knowledge, and always see where the majority of ulama, the majority of Muslims think, and put ourselves in that hole. Put ourselves in that, and you'll be protected with that. Allah Azza wa Jal had made the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sinless as an individual, and made the nation of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam as sinless as a jama'ah. As a nation, Allah Azza wa Jalla had protected this nation with that. Allah Azza wa Jalla had protected this nation with that. So these are extreme views in the creed. Other extreme views, people who ever exaggerate in Allah Azza wa Jalla, in their belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will they start resembling Allah. Start resembling Allah and picturing Allah as one of his creation, wal'iyadhu billah. These are, we spoke about this in the Aqeedah, some people start to resemble, some groups start to resemble Allah as like a great diamond, wal'iyadhu billah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a hand like his creation. Allah sees like his creation, wal'iyadhu billah. This is an extreme view that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not accept. And you've got the other side, an extreme view, but like Allah doesn't have anything, and that's the ta'til. And that's something also another extreme view to the other side. So we believe in what Allah Azza wa Jalla had revealed without resembling Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, without rejecting what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had mentioned. You have people over exaggerate with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. People over exaggerate. Muhammad is created out of light. And this is an exaggeration in the aqidah. And yesterday I was telling the brothers in the Sharia course how in Pakistan one group called by the name of Brilwis, when they pray, they leave a white handkerchief behind, they leave that empty, and the Prophet comes and prays there. Subhanallah, and he's made out of nur. And they over exaggerate when the name Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is mentioned, start wiping over their faces and eyes and I don't know what else. So subhanallah, over exaggeration in the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, over exaggeration in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, making him like a Lord or a God. Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam does not benefit, does not harm. He's a creation of Allah Azza wa Jal. Whatever he can benefit is from Allah. Whatever he can harm is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is our Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And at the same time, there's the other side of extreme. We're disrespecting the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam. Disrespecting. I've heard some people who trying to take away. The Prophet, trying to speak about other groups who over exaggerate on the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, so on, they start to say Muhammad is like a stick, doesn't harm, doesn't stick. Like a man, don't go and disrespect the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam in trying to send your message across. Okay, we know these views of how people over exaggerate in the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam by worshipping him, by so on. Okay, that's wrong. But at the same time, you don't go the other side, become so extreme in disrespecting him, he's like a stick. He's like a stick that does not harm or benefit. Only harms if I grab it, and only benefits if I grab it. No, I need with Danny. I need don't get. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "Don't over exaggerate in me." The way that people, the Christians exaggerated in Isa alayhi salam. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is a servant of Allah Azza wa Jalla, is a prophet and a messenger, but he has high status. He has high status from Allah Azza wa Jal, and he has high status in our life, in our hearts. Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is our great example. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered us to follow him. So we don't ever exaggerate on him. Hatta kaman ever exaggerating the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by celebrating a lot of celebrations on the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam, which the companions and the people who really love the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not do such. So these are over exaggeration into, as I said, there's over exaggeration in respect, that disrespect becomes making the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam like a Lord. And this over-exaggeration and disrespect, like making the Prophet ﷺ as nothing. So this is also a over-exaggeration in the worship. Over-exaggeration in the aqidah. Over-exaggeration in the aqidah, also exaggerating with the angels. And that's one of the views that the non-believers used to have, that the angels are females. Allah has an army of females. What a disrespect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Azza wa Jal has an army of females. Yeah, this is over-exaggeration in aqidah. Over-exaggeration in righteous people. Making a righteous man, it's like, khalas, he's at top of this world. And making this righteous man, righteous men, we respect them, we follow them, we listen to them, we serve them, but we don't make them sinless. Okay? And even if they do mistakes, doesn't mean, we turn against them, we stick by them, we try and change them, no worries. But we don't make them as like the prophets and messengers. Would that make them as like, wallahi, they're above the world? Would that make them like whatever they say is a revelation from Allah Azza wa Jal? This is the over-exaggeration that became into righteous people. It didn't make them like, wallahi, what the people of Nuh made the righteous people later on became idols. And that's the case that you find with some sects, like the Qadianiyya, the Ahmadiyya, who started in Pakistan. They made their leader as Isa now. He is how the Prophet ﷺ said, Isa will come back. They made this Qadiani bloke. He's Isa. And the guy is not even worth $2. They made him as to be and they ever exaggerated in him. And subhanAllah, his ending was in the toilet. Oh Allah Azza wa Jalla, this disgraces people. So people ever exaggerate in some people. They ever exaggerate. I've seen also, ever exaggerating in some of the companions like Ali. Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, you have some sects that make Ali like a prophet or successor as a prophet. Successor from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a prophet. Now he's a successor of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a leader, but not as a prophet. Making the children of Ali رضي الله تعالى عنهم الحسن والحسين over exaggerating in them, over exaggerating in the imams. So these are the extreme and over exaggeration that Islam doesn't want us to fall in our aqeed and our creed. And يعني these are some of the points that inshallah makes us away from. And inshallah next week we'll get into more details of over exaggeration in ibadah, that these over exaggeration becomes bid'ah. And bid'ah is Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam warned us from that. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, من أحدث في أمرنا ما ليس منه فورد, whoever innovates something from our religion which is not part of it, it's rejected. So inshallah we'll leave that till next week inshallah. May Allah Azza wa Jal reward you for listening. Subhanakallah bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk, wa jazakum Allah khair.